Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Just about 21 after 3, welcome to The Overdrive, the most electrifying, entertaining and well-educated rounded show right here on radio on Freedom 106.5 FM. I'm Davey in your company all the way until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And of course, coming up, we have an interview. We're going to be speaking with two doctors coming off from the Doctor's Journal. We want to say good afternoon going out to Dr. Taylor. That's you. Yeah. And Dr. Sunarai.
That's me.
That's you. So welcome to one of the biggest shows on radio.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Well, they get a little baptism there into the little thing that I only think that every day I just had to deal with that. So before we go into the show, right, I want you guys to tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Alright, so
I can start with you.
Yeah, so my
name, nervous though.
Yeah,
don't be nervous.
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Michael Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I have a BSc in biochemistry from the University of Michigan, USA, and BSc Medical Sciences and MBBS from UA Mona, Campus Jamaica, studying internal medicine at the Royal College of Physicians. I'm certified with American Heart Association in Advanced Cardiac Life Support and American College of Surgeons with Advanced Trauma and Life Support. And I'm currently one of the senior doctors at ARIMA and also a certified life coach and founder of MT Coaching and American Society of Fitness and Nutrition certified personal trainer.
Quite impressive.
Yeah, wait until they hear.
I'm trying to figure out my list now, you know. Okay. And now we have a Dr. Sunarai.
Right. My name is Vishali Sunarai.
Vishali Sunarai. Holding a MBBS honors. Go ahead, tell me about yourself.
So I have my BSc in medical sciences, MBBS with honors. I have my master's in immunology and immunotherapeutics. Now I know that's a mouthful.
But when you say what was that?
Immunology and immunotherapeutics.
Immunotherapeutics.
Yes.
I got it.
Yeah. You got it.
I got it. So tell me, what is immunotherapeutics?
Long story short, that entire specialty, it's about autoimmune diseases, allergies.
Autoimmune, okay.
Right, transplant, those kind of things.
So like this lady who used to be by the Prime Minister's side from Outer West Shore.
Mm-hmm.
God, her name is eluding me right now. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, I studied my undergrad here at the University of West Indies. I did my postgrad at the University of Nottingham.
Mm.
Right, that's where I did my master's in immunology, which again encompasses allergy, autoimmune diseases. I am now a medical director in the country's first allergy-based clinic. So it's called Allergenics, and it focuses on treating allergic diseases, food allergies, asthma, allergic sinusitis, things like that.
So this is just a room full of bright people. Yeah, this is just, I love it. The most exciting thing I ever do was fly a plane.
That's impressive.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't fly a plane.
It's
so
very technical.
To me, that's really impressive.
I think what you guys do, I mean, flying a plane is like riding a bike. I tell anybody that. If you can fly a Cessna 172, you can fly a 737. Now, what happens is just, the difference with the both is just that weight and balance, I guess. Now, every pilot that flies one aircraft or another has to be trained on each one because they're different little gadgets that you have to learn.
Right.
But the concept is the same.
Well, to be fair, medicine is kind of the same.
No.
Medicine is a practice.
Do you ever graduate from medicine? I have this way.
No.
You practice medicine like you practice law. You don't ever graduate. Things happening all the time.
Updating, with the new guidelines, etc.
Like we say, once a textbook is printed in medicine, it's already out of date. So you have to keep learning. Yeah. Always.
My gosh. I always look up to you guys, and now that you all form this television show called The Doctor's Journal, I mean, when I saw it out there at Star Studios, I was pretty, curious about it. And then I saw the brain, and I saw all these things. I walk around, touch everything on the set, and I'm like, yeah. And, funny enough, I'm seeing you guys' posters all over there, and it's good to have you guys in studio with me this afternoon.
It's nice to be here.
Of course, so we can talk more about it. Now, I have a nice array of questions that I want to go through, but I want to just, come out of that zone a little bit, because I like to be in touch with the man on the ground. I want the man on the street in a taxi right now can relate to what we're saying. Now, when you choose professions as to become doctors, in my mind, right, how safe is that? For me, and I'll explain what I mean. I became a radio announcer. I didn't learn that in school.
Right.
I went to school, I was going to be a draftsman. I was going to be an architect. That was what I was heading to. I was really good at it.
In high school, I wanted to be a chef.
Watch you. You always wanted to be a doctor?
Yeah.
Well, that was in the making for you.
Or the president. But.
Or the president.
It's not late yet. You can still do that.
You can still be the president. And you can still cook. You know? But I can't be a fireman anymore. I'm too old for being a fireman. I can't even be a volunteer, an auxiliary fireman. Now you're past the age now, you know. So, I mean, and that's one of the things I wanted. That's on my bucket list, you know, that and becoming a police. But I was able to tick off everything else, becoming a pilot and becoming a radio announcer, this, get my own TV show, all those things, yeah, you know. So that was good. And I think that, to me, that was safe. But when you become a doctor and you practice and you do stuff, you make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking that's not really that safe because if, you're always going to be on your P's and Q's on your A game.
Yep.
You know, so I'm just curious to know what made you, for one, who wanted to become a cook, a chef, to the field of medicine, you know?
Right. For me, honestly, it became a passion of mine because I myself, well, my specialty is allergy medicine. I myself have a ton of allergies.
Oh my God.
A ton of allergies. And I didn't know where to go, how to get it treated. And it became such a bother in my life that I started to focus my life along the path of, okay, if I have the same problem, I'm sure other people have the same problem as well. So, you know, if I can help one more person, it'd be lovely with this specialty.
Dr. Taylor.
Yeah, so my story is essentially, it stemmed from my grandmother, you know. She had Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. right, for about 5-6 years, and she lived up until about 92. And, you know, when I saw how much devastation it wreaked on the family,
mm-hmm.
In terms of imagining that you see in your daughter and it's like you don't know who the person is.
Mm.
And then now you become combative and all these different things happen. So it's a lot of suffering, right?
Not and just to the patient, but a family member.
Exactly.
As well.
Mm. And that is where my passion stemmed from, because I wanted to see if I could help these people delay the onset of that disease.
Oh.
Because there are things that can be done to delay it. Simple things like diet, Mediterranean diet, etc. And different lifestyle habits and changes that one can do, right? But then there are also medications, right? So I actually wanted to be in that realm where I could help people, and then it just expanded from there.
Which is why it was so important for us to do this show, The Doctor's Journal, so that we can help people. Even just as one person watching this show, they'd be able to at least see something that relates to them and learn something that they didn't know before. Yeah. But and I was be able to help their life.
I was now getting into the field of The Doctor's Journal, you know, the brainstorm, the brains behind it, you know, who came up with the concept, how did you all meet, you know, to get to be co-host and host of this show, you know. Tell me a little bit about it.
So the big thought behind it came from SGP Studios, Mr. Rodney Simungal.
Mm-hmm.
He reached out to myself asking what I thought about a medical show, and then we just started to work on it. Ideas of what we thought people needed in the country, what we thought patients were missing from a regular visit, how could we make that, bridge that what they got in their visit and what they can do at home.
Mm.
And then after Dr. Taylor came in, mm-hmm. to the project.
Yeah, so from my side, I was doing my own thing too, where I was posting different things on social media, trying to bring awareness to different diseases and simple things people can do to actually improve their health, reduce risk of disease and maybe prevent certain diseases. And then, you know, Rodney reached out to me as well. Mm-hmm. And we were so happy that we were given this opportunity to be able to bring this message to a wider audience,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, hopefully capture the whole of the country as well as the region,
mm-hmm.
you know, to bring this type of information in a way that it hasn't been brought before, so that we can also not just touch the older generation but the younger one, because mm-hmm. if we could change the younger minds, now it could change the future.
Indeed. Yeah. So
and I think SGP Studios did an excellent job of making it so entertaining. You should see the graphics on their show. People work in there.
I saw the graphics
I saw it
when we were editing our other shows. I was sitting, but you know, what are some of the topics that comes up on your show that you all have I mean, the show is premiering tonight.
Yes.
This evening. Is it 8 or 8:30?
It's 8 p.m.
Right after the news. Big time spot there. That's prime time, you understand?
It's 8 p.m. today and 5 p.m.
On Friday.
On a Friday repeat. So I want you all to hold the calls. I know you all have questions to ask the doctors. So I'm seeing my lines blinking. But before we take any call, you know, let's go through a little bit as to what we can expect on episode one. What the pilot episode looks like.
So episode one, we're going to talk about diabetes. We have some interesting people that are going to come onto this show. Mm. We have Prof. Vijay Narayan Singh, a well-known surgeon, and he's going to be giving us tips on diabetic foot. So you don't want to miss that at all.
And we're looking at why we chose diabetes. Mm-hmm. The reason is because it is the number one cause of cardiovascular disease or heart attacks.
No, I was not going to tell you that. You see, we are astute individuals understand it means the heart.
Yes.
When you talk about cardiovascular, it's like somebody, you know, may not even understand what is the difference between income and expenditure. So okay. We like to break it down, you know. So yes. It's about heart disease and heart attacks.
Yes, and that's not all. It's number one cause of blindness.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Not finished yet. Number one cause of impotence.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not a word men like, but
so yeah, and then also the number one cause of amputations for diabetic foot.
That I know. That I know. And I think the reason for that is because the cut never heals.
So multifactorial.
There's a lot of factors that go into the healing process of it, but you'll have to tune in tonight to find out the rest.
So I had to come off my show, go home, this is all I can tell me now.
Can't reveal all the secrets.
So, all right. So how many episodes encompasses this season one here of The Doctor's Journal?
We've got 13 episodes.
13 episodes. Great. So is it that each episode are 30 minutes long?
Yep.
So it's a 30-minute show. Mm-hmm. And do you carry various topics?
Yes. A wide array and range of different topics targeted to the most common diseases that one would experience in Trinidad and Tobago and in the region.
So let me ask you a question. When each episode will feature one particular disease.
Particular topic.
So you focus on that. So you wouldn't have a split between, okay, so we're dealing with diabetes and I don't know, arthritis.
No, so tonight we're just going to talk about diabetes. Next week we'll be talking about hypertension. We've got 13 really interesting topics.
Imagine.
We've got sinusitis, which is an important one for all those that, you know, sneeze with the Sahara dust.
Mm.
We've got things like depression, which hit very close to home with all of us during COVID. I'm pretty sure a lot of your listeners suffered a little form of depression while sitting at home for all that time.
Mm. We have things like dementia. Mm-hmm. We know that is very common in the elderly population.
Mm-hmm.
We have the one on heart attack, heart disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also have high blood pressure. We know that is a big one here in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who suffer from this, you know, would have all the different complications, and we'll be alluding to all those things in the episode.
All right, so that's what we're looking forward to tonight. So, I mean, you talk about depression. Ever watch them cable channels and see they give you a tablet for depression?
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch all the side effects that come in with that, it's best you stay depressed and none of it.
So
what we teach you in the show is how to recognize depression and when you should now go to see a specialist.
Hmm.
And then you also ask yourself, anytime you're looking at a medication, you look at what you call the risk-to-benefit ratio.
The risk-to-benefit ratio.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, we're here for an hour, and we're now well into our first 30 minutes of the show, of this segment. So let's talk about the risk-to-benefit factors of medication. And I'm asking that because I'm looking at something as innocent as Panadol multisymptom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Give me what is the risk-to-benefit ratio from that perspective, that simple drug that we take for granted.
So it'll depend on what condition you're dealing with and the patient's premorbid history.
Mm.
So for example, Panadol really doesn't cause any problem in somebody unless they have something like severe liver disease.
Yeah.
Severe liver disease,
because it's broken down in the liver.
Right, yeah, it's metabolized in the liver. So you have to be careful. If you do have liver disease, just be mindful of how much Panadol you do take. So everything is, you know, with
moderation.
Exactly, with a pinch of salt and everything.
Mm-hmm. For another example, there are different blood thinners that we look at, things like warfarin or Xarelto. Now, we look at a risk-to-benefit ratio in terms of would the patient be at more harm taking this medication than not taking it. So usually, for example, a common condition would be something like an irregular heartbeat in the heart, or a name for it could be atrial fibrillation as one of the types. And essentially, we look to say, okay, somebody with atrial fibrillation may be at high risk for getting clots, stroke in the brain.
Right? Wow.
So now, would taking this medication be good for them in the sense of, yes, you take the medication and you reduce the risk of the clots forming, but there's also a risk of bleeding.
Right.
So now you calculate the bleeding score. Does this person have a history of a tumor in the head? Or does the person have a history of massive bleeding from the gastrointestinal tract? Things like that are taken into account before you prescribe a medication.
But hear this. I'm listening to what you're saying, and I mean, it sounds really interesting. I'm not going to lie. You know, and I started wondering to myself, what makes the doctor's journal stand out from another medical program?
Right. So that's an excellent question. So our medical TV show, now we're not just sit down and we're not just going to relay the information just like that. Our show encompasses demonstrations. We go to see specialists. We show you patients. We talk to you from their perspective, their stories. And then we're able to give you the whole picture in a nutshell, right? We're able to tell you when you should go to see a doctor. We point out all the numbers that are important for when it's okay to stay home and treat yourself and when it is imperative that you go see a specialist at that point in time. We're able to break down all those things in a much more entertaining manner.
Yes, because the most important thing is not only relaying the information, it's how you relay the information.
Exactly.
What is the mode of the information? How is it being transmitted to your audience? Are they receiving it properly? And you know, we have this paternalistic approach as doctors from the past where, you know, we tell you, okay, just take that tablet, go home, right? You know, just take this prescription, go home, right? But the newer generation that's coming up asks questions and they want answers, right? And we are providing those answers as well as demonstrating and really trying to bring it home so that people can relate. If you can relate it, you are more likely to change, right? And when you are able to change, now you have a decreased risk of certain diseases, you have decreased prevalence of certain diseases, and now you could create a nationwide change.
Right. For example, this afternoon, our show is going to take you into a theater where you see where they do amputations and stuff like that, and hopefully no one gets to that point. So you see, that's caught your attention. Your eyes are open really large now.
No. All your cartoon thing, or this is real?
No, this is real.
So you all are taking us into a theater.
We're taking you into a
and
theater.
And showing us an amputation.
No, not the amputation part. We're just going to show you where those things happen. And hopefully, you look relieved now, thank God. Right? Hopefully, if we just resonate with just one person, we've made a difference.
Well, only resonated with me because I can't imagine my limbs being removed for one reason or another, whether it be accident or, as you say, diabetes. And diabetes is a very, very prevalent disease in our country at this time. Eh?
You'd be surprised at how many people require amputations and how many of these amputations could have been avoided just by inspecting your feet. Controlling your sugar, looking at your diet, taking your medications. Simple little things prevent these things from happening.
And what we can say is that, so diabetes doesn't just happen today for tomorrow. It's a process that happens years and even decades. So we need to, don't think you're too young to check.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, I know we're going to get all that information in come 8 p.m. Later today. However, I mean, it would be very remiss of me if I didn't ask. How can we tell the early signs of diabetes? I mean, I'm asking you the question, and I just want you all to get this vision in your head. You all are hearing an audio on the radio of these answers. Picture what the visual would look like on television tonight. So I think it will be an interesting teaser because the information is valid one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Some persons may not have access to television this afternoon or later this evening to watch the Doctor's Journal.
Right.
And I don't think we're on social media with it as yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they can access it on YouTube or...
We have our YouTube pages. We have a TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. So you can follow us
in
the Doctor's Journal.
So, but it doesn't answer the question about how can one tell diabetes.
Yeah. So,
before you answer that, what age? Because you know, long time you hear diabetes, that is a senior citizen thing.
Ah.
That is an age individual.
Right.
So, at what early age in life can one experience any sort of diabetic symptoms or whatever?
So to answer that question, now you have to decide what type of diabetes we're talking about.
Right.
We have type 1, type 2, just to make it simple, but there are 7 different types or more, right? Type 2 is usually occurring in an older population, mm-hmm. whereas type 1 tends to present in earlier age groups. We're talking about people like 18, etc.
Like early teenage years, you'll end up with persons at that time usually presenting with type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, never too young to check, right?
But how do you check? How do you know that you know what? I'm feeling diabetic here today, you know, let me go on, you know, how does it work?
So aside from symptoms, right? So first you look at if you have a family history, mm-hmm. mother, father, things like that.
So genetics plays a key role in it.
And that increases.
So it's hereditary.
There's genetic.
It contributes to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Now, essentially, when you're looking at symptoms, we have what you call polyphagia, polydipsia. All that means is and polyuria. So we're looking at
increased urination, those kinds of
hunger.
Right.
Right. So essentially, it's difficult to say, well, you know what, I have this, so I have diabetes, right? Usually, one of the earliest things that happens is you tend to start to spill protein in the urine.
Right.
Right, so...
And you go to your doctor, and you pee in the cup, and the secretary will probably test it for you, and they'll come back and show the doctor the test. That's what that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm listening to the explanation, and I mean, listen, mm-hmm. Well, forgive me, mm-hmm. but Oli's still in answering my question. I still try to figure out, okay, so how I go and know, well, okay, go test. So aside from the fact that it's hereditary somewhat,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what ratio is that you will inherit this disease?
There isn't really a ratio, you know. It just is linked to an increased risk.
Yeah. It's an increased risk.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean because...
And that is the important thing that people need to take home. Just because your mother and father have diabetes, you do not have to get diabetes. Mm-hmm. The reason is it is a lifestyle disease.
Yep.
Ah.
Right? There are certain changes that happen. For example, if you're asking me about the signs and symptoms of high blood pressure, someone can have high blood pressure undiagnosed for years.
Right, and that's why it's called the silent killer.
Exactly.
Right.
So
it doesn't mean if you have the pain behind your neck and stuff like that, people just associate that with high blood pressure, but it could have zero symptoms and you could have high blood pressure. But same thing with diabetes. Like I was saying before, it doesn't happen today for tomorrow, right? And you're not going to all of a sudden have symptoms and that's what you should check. If you are showing symptoms, chances are you already have diabetes. So you look at things like you'll have tingling on the feet, pain on the mm-hmm. feet. That's what a lot of patients come to me about. If they get pain on the feet, and when we do their sugar testing and stuff like that, we find out that they are diabetic, mm-hmm. right? If they have problems with their vision, that's the next thing that you could be looking out for, right? So if you have blurred vision or your vision isn't as good as it was a few years ago, go get yourself checked out.
Mm-hmm.
If you, well, again, this is not something you could see outright, but the same thing Dr. Mike was talking about the protein in the urine. When you go for a regular checkup, which people should be going for a regular checkup, at least, let's just say once a year, right? And now I say this and people are going to say, but I don't have money to go to the doctor once a year. There's health centers that are free. You can go and it's a free checkup there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So go and let them check your urine. You'll see if there's protein in the urine, things like that, right?
And, you know, like as doctors, there are some signs that we could look for.
Right.
Certain things we have, like trophic changes in the feet, mm-hmm. as well as something called acanthosis nigricans at the back of the neck. 99% chance likely that you have diabetes, but
yeah,
that is for us.
Yeah, that's a high correlation.
Yeah, that is not for you. The most important thing that we want you all to take home is get checked,
mm-hmm.
right? We have the information. Right, we have the test available to us, so don't just walk around, oh, I good. No, when you reach 30 years old, do a little check at least.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And then keep following that up. If exactly. At least from 30 to 40, do it once a year. That's enough. Once a year, you'll pick it up easily.
Yeah.
But if you bury your head in the sand and say, well, I'm too young, I'm never going to get that, you'd be very, very, very sadly mistaken with that.
And that's one of the most important things we are trying to achieve with this show. To drive certain behaviors, which is to get checked. Because if you get checked and we detect the disease very early, now you don't end up with certain long-term complications like the severe heart disease. You know, you need to go for open heart surgery, stents, all these different things.
You avoid the amputations.
Yeah. Or you delay them.
You know, I talking to Ole here, I was excited. No, I'm not here. I just started to feel like I need it. Anyway,
well, listen. We don't want to be morbid.
No. I like to break it facts.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back to Trinidad and Tobago. Just about 9 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock, we are chatting with the host and co-host of the brand new television series that's going to be kicking off on CNC3 come later this evening. We're looking at an 8 p.m. Sharp television broadcast time. Right after the CNC3 news, you can look out for the Doctor's Journal. And this show is a production of Star Global Studios out there in Chase Village, Shogunas. Yeah, we have them kind of things in Trinidad. I remember the first time one of my shows dropped, they thought it was from foreigner. A lot of people, nah, we filmed that right in Central, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so big up Rodney C. Mungle and the entire team, Dean, Nigel, oh my God, Matthew, Samuel,
Kylie,
of course. Kylie is brilliant, you know what I mean? So we got to big up the entire team. Thank you so much, Dean. I think Dean Handen edits. Nigel is all about audio. Samuel is behind the cameras most of the times, filming. Kylie writing, putting together content, and of course, bringing the best of the both worlds together, which is the viewers and the creators and presenters of the show. So Rodney, being the director and co-producer with you guys, once again, I want to welcome you back to Freedom, one of the biggest shows on this station. Yeah, I'm a claim that. They can say what they want. I'm going to take that. So as we bring you guys back inside with us, before we wrap up our interview within the next 25 minutes or so, you know, we were talking about these diseases such as diabetes and all these things and the telltale signs. And you're saying that from the early onset, we need to start to check these things.
Yep.
You know, that's very scary, right? Because I'm thinking, you know, if I start to get blurred vision, I'm going to check the optometrist. I'm going to get some glasses, right? And you're telling me, because I'll be very honest, recently, there was a little situation, my wife wasn't feeling too well, and what we did, we went and checked our, you know, pressure,
right?
And we discovered that her pressure was really low.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I'm there, I'm with the boys, you know, I say, hey, I'm going to check me one, and I discovered I was high.
Right.
Then I went back and did it again, and I was still high.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I woke up the next morning, and I checked, and I was still
high
above.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I see I ain't checking it again.
Oh my.
So I ain't checking it since then?
No, you have to check it again.
Really? No, man.
And that was like 2 weeks ago?
No, wow. No.
So they feel I in a mess right now?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you need to check it.
But I feel normal though.
That's what Dr. Mike was saying before. So most of the time, people with hypertension, they feel fine.
Mm-hmm. But is there a possibility when you check this, you know, and you put this, it could give you a wrong reading?
So, right. So we talk about how to check it properly because people do check those things incorrectly and there are common errors that Trinidadians love to do. So we definitely pinpoint that on our show. So pay attention to how you place your cuff, which arm you place it on, how much rest you have before, if you've had coffee before, things like that. And we go through
Hold on. listen. You know, there's a misconception, and I learned that, you know, within recent times, that pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
They say the morning urine, that first one, is the one, you know, that's the one you had to check. So you feel you're pregnant, you had to sleep whole night wondering this thing, wake up in the morning, as a woman, the first pee or the urine, whatever it is, you check that.
Yeah. Well, it is the most accurate time to check it, right? It's not the only time to check it,
however,
it's the most accurate.
I'm just thinking, right? And it's just me. Before it was confirmed, me and a dog, I just thinking, you know, so if you're pregnant, right? You check any morning, check any night, you'll be pregnant any night. And I'm just saying, once you're pregnant, you check it any time of the day, you're pregnant. And then a doctor said to me, yeah, well, it doesn't really matter. You ain't going to check it any morning and pregnant, and tonight you check it and say, you're not pregnant, you know.
The hormone levels, the only reason we've had that idea for so long is it's the highest at that time. time.
Okay.
Right? It'll be the most in the urine at that time because you've had the whole night, it kind of collects in the bladder.
Oh.
Right? So it's more than likely, if it's early in the pregnancy, to pick up quickly. Right? So that's why we have that idea.
Oh, but if you pass your first trimester and you check it in the night,
sure.
You're sure you're pregnant, right?
Sure.
Because
get it, yeah.
The reason I ask that question, people might think it's comical because, you know, we tend to laugh a little bit on my show as well.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask it because you mentioned the way you place your arm, what you were doing just moments before you checked it. Did you have coffee this morning? Mm-hmm. Are you stressed out about something?
Yeah. Exactly. And so, there's a thing called white coat hypertension as well, where you just see a doctor and you get scared and your blood pressure goes up.
Mm-hmm. So the accuracy and validity of this thing, you had a second guess at that?
No.
So there are correct ways to do it. So like, for example, the white coat hypertension, what we do is we would do what you call ambulatory blood pressure readings where, you know, we advise the patient to take their blood pressure consecutively at home for about 2 weeks.
But what if the person don't have a blood pressure machine like myself?
Well,
I have one, but if they don't?
Well, so one or two things. If you have a nice doctor, maybe they might lend you theirs, right? Or they could try to source up the funds from different family members.
Mm.
It's about $60.
Yeah. Well, I hope, seeing that we are all out of SGP Studios, that we become friends and all, they could lend me, a stethoscope as well. You know, I listen to myself.
No, but what I've learned is a lot of pharmacies, they check your blood pressures for you. You can go pay, I think, it's $2 or $3 and have your blood
sugar. No, that's on pharmacy, $10.
Oh, gosh,
buy a coin, $10.
Oh,
so if you check it twice, that's $20. If you're still insured, you pay another $10, that's $30.
But like I was saying before, it's free in the health center.
So go in the health center and
free
sort
in the
it
health
out.
Center.
So if you check a reading, is it incumbent upon... Right, so you go to the pharmacy, you're feeling a kind of way, and you check your blood pressure, and it reads high.
So then
do you recommend that you wait a while? How much time should elapse before you check it again?
It depends on what the surrounding situation is, the surrounding circumstances. Are you in a stressful state? Things like that. You could wait about 10-15 minutes and repeat it. If it's still high and you're experiencing symptoms, you should go to the hospital. Because now you'll be in a bed and they could check you. And whatever specific sign you are manifesting, they can investigate down that route. For example, if you're having a headache and maybe some features of a stroke, you might end up getting a CT brain. You know, things like that.
A CT brain?
A CT scan of the brain.
No, I don't want to scare anybody here, but I being real, this is something that it's serious, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's what we're trying to get the point across. It's important.
So hypertension is the most common cause of ischemic stroke or clots in the brain.
So with the doctor's journal, we're going to cover all these things.
Yes, and more.
Now, you're not going to scare people on the show, but and I'm saying it very openly.
Listen,
scared or not,
yeah,
this is a hard conversation that must be had.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the key is finding the balance between not being too gruesome and not being too shy. And, when you strike that balance, you'll be able to really evoke what you want to evoke, which is people's healthcare-seeking behavior.
Change. What we want to evoke is that change in that in regular patterns. Mm-hmm. So if you're accustomed never checking it, right, we hope that we, put the idea in your head, at least let me borrow my neighbor's machine and check it at least once.
Mm-hmm. I think in, me. And I being real, I think in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel fine. I almost
don't buy our blood pressure machine right now so we get to check it for you.
Well, that's it. I almost don't buy a pair of shoes unless I walk out the one I'm wearing, I don't study these things.
And that's normal. Trinidadian
behavior. Well, me, I have two kids. I have family. I feel like I'm running around in a shoe to try running for the latest shoes. I walk out one and then oh my gosh, I need a shoes.
Then
go buy one.
But that's what we mean. We need to start changing that mindset, because what happens is that you'll find that you don't have time for health right now. But when it gets really bad, you'll have to make time for
it. And that's it, because I visit the dentist because the toothache is there. And nothing I take working. So, this is annoying. I need to go visit the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started learning, because I have kids, that, you need to visit before.
Yep. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You need to check before. You know, yeah. Wait for the pain.
Yeah.
And then you realize something is wrong, because pain only tells you something is wrong. Something mm-hmm. could be wrong before, but it just hasn't reached a painful stage as yet. So I learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cheaper to prevent than it is to then treat after.
Yeah, I agree.
And you see, the thing is, right? Mm-hmm. Our attitude to all things, not just health, is attitude of procrastination. Mm. And we are
everybody.
Not yeah. proactive. We are retroactive after the fact or just before it happens. So you find people end up presenting to the healthcare system in severe array, right? Severe
wow.
disease. You know, it's very unlikely that you're picking up these patients before time. Most of these patients that come in, they're coming mm-hmm. in massive heart attack,
God.
Stroke, cutting off the foot. Things like that, right? And we don't want that to happen,
so
because it can be
behavior.
Avoided, prevented, and delayed.
So for those who are questioning me on social media right now, you can send me a WhatsApp at 306-1065. We would entertain some calls at 627-3223 and 627-2257 if you have any questions that you want to ask. But let's talk about the Doctor's Journal, this show produced by SGP Studios and your good selves. You know, what was the experience like on set when you all were coming up with the ideas? Who came up with the ideas of what topics we're going to explore each episode? I mean, I know Kylie is quite good. I know quite
yes,
Kylie
is excellent.
Kylie is brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'm Kylie, wherever you stand in the world, big up yourself. I know you're quite good. But, you know, I would imagine that, you know, talk to me about that process when those topics are thrown at you all, if you all didn't come up with it.
So initially, the first idea came from SGP Studios and again, Mr. Simangal. We helped create at least the list for which topics should be done this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a kind of collaborative experience mm-hmm. after that. We all kind of put our input in as to which things would resonate with viewers first. So
yeah.
Well, let's do these topics first. The, you know, the big hitter.
Well, I would imagine diabetes is a hard hitter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I am looking forward to watching it later to find out, because I want to ask only a million questions, but I know I ain't going to answer them. I'm going to watch the TV.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I like the idea that you all took the cameras into a theater
mm-hmm. yeah.
to show persons, you know, the scary surroundings. And I say scary, and I mean, I'm no qualms about it, because it is. It's mm-hmm. a life and death whenever you walk in there, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And patients don't walk out.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a scenario that should scare you into action, I would
right.
want to say. Mm-hmm. Push you.
We're
into
hoping
going.
It does. Yeah.
Push you. Mm-hmm. So that's what, I think that's what separates you guys from the rest. So that's the part I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going through this episode tonight, viewers will see what?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what will be the driving force? What are what are the initiatives you all use that you think that after this episode, I go in and check my blood pressure?
You see, the first thing what we want to look at as well is that, you know, SGP Studios is the biggest studio in the Caribbean.
Of course.
Right?
Without a doubt.
And the
quality.
There was
yeah,
no,
Rodney, take your plug, Edwards. Yeah.
There was no expense that, you know, was held back. Essentially, everything was put into it to be vibrant, interactive,
yeah.
you know, so that we could reach as many people as possible. That is the first thing.
Did we get interviews in there?
Yeah, we definitely.
Multiple.
Like I said, many. We have Prof. Vijay Narayan Singh on tonight in this episode. He's a well-known
yeah.
surgeon.
Yeah, he is.
Right? And he's going to be talking about diabetic foot. And he's going to give us a nice set of tips so our viewers can, you know, be able to examine their feet at home and those kind of things.
You see, the thing is, for a while, there has been a gap between doctors and patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our aim is to be the bridge where we break down the information that is very technical, simple enough
mm-hmm.
so that any layman can understand. Because once you can understand, now you could act of your own free will. You could act with knowledge and be empowered to make change as what we're trying to achieve.
So what are the most common misconceptions people have when it comes to that a patient might have which as it relates to the doctors themselves mm-hmm. or maybe a particular disease? I'm not isolating any one mm-hmm. disease here.
For sure.
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
A misconception, you know?
So one of the biggest ones, at least I've seen in my private practice, is the use of some herbal medications,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we're not saying that herbs don't work, right? But sometimes it's not regulated the way it should be regulated. For example, turmeric use. Now, it everyone knows it thins the blood. People use it all the time. However, they don't understand sometimes that maybe too much of it, you get your blood overly thin, right? And if you're taking aspirin or Plavix and then you're taking turmeric as well, you put yourself at an increased risk of bleeding. It's simple bumps might give you bleeding under your skin and you end up with little black spots underneath. Yum.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, one person might message me here and say, well, you know, David has a brilliant question, but and I love the way she put it, but here the next part of the thing now. You know, she's a doctor. He's a doctor. So pharmaceuticals drive their field of work. Yeah. So, I mean, why we downplaying, you know, the bush medicine?
Right.
It's not that we're not saying some of them are effective. It's just that a lot of them don't have to go through the same regulation that a normal medication might have to. So I'm not saying don't take them. I'm just saying use with caution. And that's what is important. Okay. So that's what we'll be going through in our show.
Okay. Well, we have a call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hear you all discussing something with the high blood pressure and whatnot and whatnot, right?
Yes.
No, I went to 2 doctors last year because of a problem. And what I want to find out, I wouldn't say how they did it, yet. But I wanted to know what is the best position, what is the righteous position to check your pressure.
Okay. You talked about it, Dr. Taylor.
Right.
You started it first, Dr. C, you know, right? When you said the way you position your hand,
right?
You know? So they're asking what's the best position.
So to be very plain and simple, we're looking at about 45 to 90 degrees in a seated position and preferably on the left arm.
Have your hand rested as well.
Right. So there are much more intricacies that could take 15 minutes, but that is the start of everything. And the cuff midway between the elbow and the
Right. There is also a little artery indicator that you will see on every single pressure cuff. It'll come in the form of a little arrow, a little circle with a line through it. It might say artery here. Mm-hmm. And you're going to put that on the inner aspect of the arm. Right.
Oh, well, that's good. Good afternoon.
Yes, I have to call back. I didn't finish yet.
Oh, okay.
What happened is that, as I say, I went to 2 doctors last year, right? Mm-hmm. And both of them checked my pressure the identical way, which I knew wasn't correct, but I mean, I just ordered it, so I can tell them what to do and how to do it.
Mm.
They put me to sit down on the, they call it that, inside the office there, a bunk or a bed. Not a bed, a bunk. They call it a bunk, right? And just take my hand and just so, no table. And no time to say, well, recuperate, to sit down and, you know, settle yourself. No. They just take the cuff, put it around my arm, the left arm there, and do what they had to do, and that was it.
Well, unfortunately...
All right, thank you.
Unfortunately, there are different situations that guide certain behaviors and activities that we wouldn't comment on. I don't know the surrounding situation as to what is happening in the office at that period of time.
That triggered that.
Yes.
Good answer. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, man. Blessings to the panel. Uh-huh. Very educational program on health.
Thank you.
Doctor, could you say, okay, turmeric. How you use turmeric? By the teaspoon and for how long and when? It will be for me. Let me hear. I'll listen over there. Thanks.
Okay. So, turmeric, from our perspective, is not a pharmaceutical drug that we recommend patients to take. The only reason is this. The drugs that we recommend to patients from the pharmacy, etc., has been carefully measured, studied, analyzed. So
we know if they take this, say they take X amount of this drug, it's going to give you this amount of blood thinning or effect.
Yes. So we have a predictable outcome with a certain dose. And that is the difference. So I know if I give somebody 10 milligrams of this drug, I would expect the blood pressure to drop by 20 millimeters mercury, right? You could take a clove of garlic. Question is, how much is your blood going to drop? your blood pressure, how much, right? You don't know.
Yes. So all that we're trying to point out is that there aren't sufficient studies on it yet.
Yeah.
We don't. There's no exact amount of dosage yet, and that's the only thing that we're just trying to point out to viewers. Just ask more questions.
Yeah, because we know it has an effect.
Yeah, it does.
But
we're not knocking that at all.
Just
we know it does.
Replicate between different patients the same dose and the same effect.
And the way you all have presented this answer today, is this what we can expect on the doctor's journal in the weeks to come?
At the least.
At the least.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are called at 627-3223 and 625-2257 if you have any questions that you want to ask. And if not, well, check out CNC Treaters this evening at 8 o'clock and you would see these two lovely people in front of me hosting the doctor's journal. Now, it's funny that you talk about turmeric and the clove. Because, you know, recently people say boil some bush in a pot and take a steam. Mm-hmm. Take a towel, put your head over the pot, and when it's hot, you know, try and heal it as hot as possible. Mm-hmm. But then, how much water are we putting in this pot?
Oh, yeah.
How much bush you're putting in there?
All right.
And all these different variation of bush, fever grass, this grass, lime bush, pick tobacco leaf, you know, sometimes if you get a pomerac seed and rest it in the pot. I just say,
interaction?
And, you know, I never thought about it like this.
Yeah.
Where these studies came from, because there's always somebody who knows somebody, we call them bush doctors, and say, no, boy, because, you know, try that, boy, and smell that, and it go work.
You see, the thing is, right, in the past, we know that bush medicine, sorry to say it like that, right, but medicine using herbs has been successful, yes? But what we have to understand is that as time advances, so does science. Just like we have a color TV, and in the past we used to look at black and white.
Yes.
You're not going into the store to buy a black and white. As science increases, we have to advance with it also and not hold on to ancient beliefs when there are better systems out there.
So, okay. Now, here, man.
Yeah.
Now, you say ancient belief and better systems, you see? A man might say, I just say, hear them. They're only for the pharmaceuticals, boy. But I going to boil tobacco leaf later and I going to feel good. I just say,
That's what we say. It's not that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's just the same way, for example, what I hear, that has so much side effects, this side effects and that side effects. But do you ever ask what's the side effect?
Well said. Let me take a call here for you guys. Because I'm maximizing on all the time here. You all not hurry, right?
No.
All right, good. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy.
What's up, buddy?
I have an alternative doctor beside his doctors. And he does research. He has an office in Miami. And he lives in Trinidad. And probably he's one of the oldest doctors in Trinidad right now. And he deals with herbs. He tells you any measures and everything and tell you what to do.
Well, all right. Listen.
He deals with other medication beside that. And he tells you the different things to do.
Here's what to do. Send a text message to me. To 306-1065 with contact information. I will definitely pass it on to the doctors. So ask him.
Yeah, and one thing I would say is this. One thing that we cannot argue, right? If you want to say there's a role for herbs, I hear you. But look at this. Somebody who has had a road traffic accident and has severed one of their arteries in the leg, are you going to put a herb on it? If you put a herb on it, no, the patient will die, right? There are certain conditions, for example, there's aortic dissection where the artery can tear, right? And you can die within minutes. There's no herbal remedy that could treat that. The only thing that could treat that is if you get to the surgeon in time, he cuts you and puts a patch over that. So there are many different conditions and there are different stages of disease.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all
exactly.
scenario.
So, okay, if you want to use the herbs at the start of your disease process, right, hands off, but there's a point in time that the disease can progress to that herbs will not reverse that or herbs will not be able to treat that, right? But the problem is it's a case-by-case analysis, and it gets very technical. So we're just trying to be broad.
But that's why, for example, on our show tonight, we're going to go through figures. We're going to tell you, okay, if you are this figure to that figure, what you should do then, right? And we break it down very simple so people can understand, okay, this is where I can make lifestyle changes versus when should I actually see a doctor then? At what point is it that I can't do it myself, and when do I need help?
Yeah, and you have to know, once you have the knowledge, so for example, there are certain wounds that respond well to honey,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, there are studies on it.
Yeah.
But now you have to know, you're not going to put the honey on every single wound you get.
Right.
Because it could make it worse. But it has certain properties that could help healing.
Right.
Some quote the pawpaw leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know, and you have to work in tandem with somebody who knows about, like, some surgeons are skilled in using that for healing too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not against it.
Not against it.
No, but I think you all have provided practical reasoning.
Yeah.
And I have to say that.
We just want people to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Ask questions. The same way like that guy just now called.
Yeah.
I like that.
Exactly.
I like that. Ask us the questions, because the thing is that if you don't ask, you don't know.
And you can't have a discussion.
Yeah. We want to have a discussion.
You see, I never thought about it. You know, you always hear people saying, boy, pick this, do that, boil it, try that, brew it, drink it.
Mm.
And then you're correct to know, we don't know how much.
Mm,
and then there's
no
testing to know how severe your illness is,
right,
as opposed to this person. So it might have worked in 2 weeks because they would have caught it early.
Mm-hmm.
You are a little advanced. And they say, I had the same symptoms, the same thing, and boil this and smell this, and you're going to feel real good.
But my body is not your body.
Exactly.
Your healing is not my healing. So I might recover really quickly, but someone else might not. So that's it. Whatever's good for one person is not necessarily the same for all.
Exactly. So like a simple example is blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people respond better to different blood pressure medications than others, and different age groups.
I have a call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
So I'm loving this program.
Thank you.
Really, really much. So I would like to find out something. I have a relative of mine that suffered 2 years ago a head stroke, I would say. That besides what the doctor told us, right? She had a cut in her brain.
Okay.
And that being said, she never lost mobility, however she lost a little bit of her balance.
Mm.
So now it's stuffy, I don't know. Is it coming across on that end stuffy or not?
No, it's fine.
You were hearing it pretty clear.
I would like to find out something. Is that balance going to come back? Because what we were told, this is my mother-in-law actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we were told that the navigational, I don't know if I'm saying it wrong, but the navigational part of her brain was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't come back, but the brain tend to train itself to use a new navigation.
Yeah.
It's something to that extent. Can you explain to me a little bit in depth as to is this the balance of her? Is her balance going to get back there, or is this how she's going to be? Or I mean, shed some light on this scenario, please.
So
all right,
I'll
thank
talk
you.
About the first parts of it, right?
Uh-huh.
In terms of balance, so we have strokes, 2 different types of strokes, right? We have ischemic and hemorrhagic. The most common one is ischemic, and that's what most people in Trinidad and Tobago would suffer. Right, and what it usually and typically presents as is the slurring of the speech, drooping of the face, weakness in a side of the body, right? But that depends on which part of the brain the stroke occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so for balance, for walking, for those kind of things happen, they usually happen in the part of the brain that we call the cerebellum. So it's able, that's a primitive part of the brain that unconsciously we do balance, and it processes that. We don't have to think about processing that.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to sort of time of stroke now, it depends on how long you've taken you took at home to get the patient to the hospital as well, how long it takes for you to get care as well, right? How long, and that's where picking up symptoms becomes important. If you don't pick it up quickly, right, you end up doing a lot of damage where before you even get to the hospital, right? And that length of time is one of the biggest determining factors of how someone recovers after, right? If you're allowed, right, so if you're allowed to damage the brain, I would say, for a longer period of time, chances are the recovery time and the amount of recovery might be a little bit less. So that's all those are questions that we have to ask,
mm-hmm.
right?
And in terms of recovery, specifically asking if the person will recover, I can't answer that 100%. But what I would say is that the best chance of recovery involves multimodal things such as physiotherapy, moving around, as well as your diet, controlling the risk factors, which would be the high blood pressure, making sure that the cholesterol is in check. Now, the more the person moves, the more the person may be able to create new neural pathways that can help, you know, accommodate for the balance issue. Only time would tell. With time, it may get less and less, right? But we cannot say, no one can say 100%. But those are the things you can do to improve and give it the best possible outcome.
So it's controlling your chronic diseases, tightly controlling them, right? Continuing your physiotherapy, right? With those two things, it's only your body could really heal itself, right? After that, you take your medication. There will be medication prescribed by a doctor, not self-prescribed, by a doctor, right? Along with those two things, and you should, it should start to lead to some progression.
Yeah, most likely a patient will be on aspirin, so make sure that they continue the aspirin once no contraindications.
Well, guys, I just want to remind you all, I mean, we have another call on the line, but remember, this is all about the doctor's journal. Now, everybody going to have questions there because it's a C.
Yeah,
it's that type of show now, boy.
That's all right.
But it's all about the doctor's journal. We are speaking with the two hosts of the show, all right, Dr. Siona Ryan and Dr. Taylor. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you kindly let me know what your opinions on medical marijuana.
Medicinal marijuana. Okay, thank you very much. All right, so again, that's bush. It's a herb. You know, they say it's good for asthma. You know, my father had asthma, and he was encouraged to use it, but not in the smoking sense. He would have boiled it. And, I mean, he passed away almost a decade now, but before, in his later years, I didn't hear him having any attacks after drinking it. So, medicinal marijuana.
Well, there is a partial role for it in skincare right now. So
in skincare. Yeah,
part of the components of marijuana. But yeah.
Some people use it for relaxation, the CBD component as well, as well as for certain eye diseases like glaucoma as well. The thing is, you should get it prescribed to you because it's a regulated drug now.
But how are you using it though?
Exactly. So they would usually have the tablets.
You have marijuana tablets?
Yeah, as well as oil.
There's drops, there's oil.
Yeah.
And marijuana oil?
Yeah, well, they have CBD oil.
Yeah, CBD oil.
So you have marijuana oil, you have marijuana tablet. What again? Drops?
So, like I was saying, CBD, the one part of the component of it, right? It's used now in a lot of things, especially in skincare and stuff like that. It tends to give
the
you...
The oil?
It's incorporated into a lot of skincare. So it's not just like you put the oil on your face.
Oh, you just rub the marijuana on your face. You can scratch yourself.
No.
Somebody talk about that aortic dissection. What is your life expectancy after?
Ah, wow. So good question. In Trinidad and Tobago, with a ruptured aortic dissection, the mortality approaches 100%.
Yep.
Right? Depending on where you have the dissection, would determine the outcome as well. But if you are able to get into the hospital, you have a chance. Once you don't get to the hospital,
it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the
most
high
of the time,
mortality.
Yeah,
rate,
even
very,
if you get
high
to the hospital, a lot of the time, depending on where it is, it's a wrap as well.
All right. Now we're putting our trust in you guys in the doctor's journal. I like the scrubs, you know, with the little logos and so on. And well done. I had to get one of that, you know. So I'm a big fan. You know, I want to ask about your years into the business, into the medicine world, you know, between both of you. What are we looking at here?
I'm at 7 years now.
Yeah, about eight, nine.
All right, cool. So we're about 20 years, roughly. Roughly about 18.
Let's round up,
Let's round it up to about 20 years. Let me take a call quickly. Hello, good afternoon.
I was wondering how, if all medicine have, is herbal, not so?
If all medication have a... okay, I think I understand the question.
Yeah, I understand the question.
All right.
So the answer to that question is no, right? There are certain medications that are based on herbs, and there are other medications that what we call synthetic, meaning they are created in a lab. Just like we have GMO corn, we have GMO medications. We have GMO lettuce, we have GMO medications.
All right, so let's talk a little bit before we wrap things up on the Doctor's Journal. So throughout this season, we expect this world-renowned doctor on tonight at 8 tonight, right after the after the CNC 3 news. Now, let's talk. We have 12 more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
If you could remember, because, I mean, I've been doing TV a little while too, so sometimes you forget, which one is episode 1 again, 2, 3, and it coming out. So if you can remember, all right, can you walk me through what we can expect? Like a trailer, you know, who are the world-renowned specialists you have on the show? What we can expect on Doctor's Journal for the next 13 weeks, starting from tonight?
Right. So from tonight, like we said, we have diabetes.
Diabetes.
Next week, we have hypertension. Mm-hmm. As we go along, we'll be doing high cholesterol, stroke, dementia. We'll be doing prostate cancer.
Mm-mm.
We'll be doing breast cancer, which we have an... we have our breast cancer episode is one that is really
powerful.
It is. We have a patient who is so we have our guest is a patient who is young and had breast cancer, right? So
wow.
It's not just a disease of middle-aged women. We mm-hmm. we are showing that breast cancer can affect people in their 20s, 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure and, you know, do yourself examinations and stuff like
Somebody
that.
Somebody asks if you have any episode on HIV.
So we will be touching on HIV in our next season.
Well, all right. So next season, so we definitely have a season 2 coming up, right?
Yeah.
That's in the making. So, Rodney, we have more work to do. We have a season 2 coming up. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, doctors. Can you guys touch on hydrogenitis superativa?
Repeat?
Right.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I'll have them
did
do
they
that.
Get it? Yes, they did.
Yeah, they got it. I can't pronounce it. I bite my tongue. But all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so essentially, that is a disease that usually occurs under the arm or in the armpits where you produce a lot of sweat and it tends to be a lot of difficulties with the follicles in that area. The only real thing, so essentially, some of the data suggests that Botox can be used in its treatment. But it's a very difficult disease to get control of, and it is very difficult to live with as well, too.
Somebody's now asking about body hair. You know,
yes.
Removal, is it good? They're saying, is it good to remove them, or is it there for a reason?
It depends on the method of removal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is it, the method? Is there a wax in your shape?
No. So we have laser techniques.
Yes.
What are you talking about, laser?
Yes. This is a new thing now.
Yeah.
Especially women.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetic reasons they would use.
Your laser in where?
Like your leg, your arms.
In pubic regions. Yeah.
This machine, and it removes the hair?
Yeah.
But what they're...
Permanently.
What they're... Hmm?
Yeah. But
well,
right, so that... Yeah, so the accent, is it good or not? I mean, that's subjective.
Is it hygienic?
Yeah.
Is it a matter of hygiene to keep it? Because some people saying, you know, that God gave your dad that there for a reason. Like your hair is in your nose there for a reason to prevent particles and stuff from getting in there. Because
exactly.
I had a friend when I was working before we joined radio. He went bananas. He discovered a nose clippers and went crazy, man. Nose clean. Sick for weeks.
Yeah.
You get the flu like that.
Yep.
Then a doctor told him, you can't remove those things.
Exactly.
You trim it, but you can't take out all. Those hair are in your nose for a reason.
You just let everything in.
You just let everything in. Everything is like your eyelashes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like they're asking, you know, if you remove armpit hair and
pubic
reasons.
Yeah, I mean,
reasons,
for hygienic
you know.
Reasons, if you notice that you have a lot of hair under the armpit and the scent is high, this is where you have what you call like the pheromones and stuff.
Mm.
You may tend to notice the pheromones more with the more hair that you have, right? So if that is bothering you, shave the armpits, you shave, you know, the pubic regions, etc., and you may feel more comfortable. But I don't really see.
So it's not something medical that you have
no.
to do or have to.
No.
Yeah.
There's
no big like negative behind it right now.
No.
Oh well, that's good to know. So this season, most definitely, you all have guests on board the show. You all will have interviewed persons. I don't know how far how deep can we you know we have gone. Would we go in? Would we see into the show? You mentioned the theater. Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we're going that deep. Is that the only episode we're going to see something like that? Or?
No, each episode there's something different. Like, I'm pretty sure people would have a good time watching Mike show them how to do nasal washes on our sinusitis episode.
Nasal washes?
Yeah.
You just wash your nose?
Yeah, well, you see, that's it.
You just wash your nose? You have a special brush? Well, when is that episode? That's episode number six. What? That's something like a sixth episode. That's a mid-season something.
Yeah. Later on, yeah.
Later on, yeah. Well, so we're gonna. So that's what we're aiming for. So every episode, you're gonna see either a demonstration or something. We take you somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have interviews. We have patients with it. For example, like our we have a chronic kidney disease episode that we have a patient, a dialysis patient, that tells you about their experience.
Right. That is what I want to get to.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about this all day. Mm-hmm. You know, we can give the educated opinions on it, but when you have a person that's actually living it, going through it, I mean, let's talk about dialysis really quick. I mean, once a person hits a dialysis machine or they're diagnosed where they have to take it, what does it mean for them if they don't?
So first, let's talk about...
Well, before you answer, let me just say this, because it came in on a message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I ignored it. They asked me about my question, so I'm going to ask, right? Does dialysis mean that your kidneys are not working where you can urine or poop, as it were?
Not poop, no. So dialysis takes the place of the kidney. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Usually,
it's renal replacement therapy.
Exactly. There are different forms.
You can still urinate, right?
So your urine production eventually goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So some days you don't urinate at all?
Yeah.
And what about pooping?
No, but it doesn't
have nothing to do with that.
So you can still...
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to do
with
that.
So it's really a urine...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is the kidneys become shrunken with time.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, less blood flow, and you are unable to filter the toxins. The question is, without dialysis, what would happen?
Yes.
The answer is death.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just take this call before we wrap up. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Excessive saliva.
Excessive saliva in the mouth.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling. Well, okay. Well, we have about 10 minutes. I know we're over our time, but we really appreciate the doctors on our show this afternoon giving us this insight. So, excessive saliva in your mouth.
Well,
find somebody to kiss and share. And I just say it.
I mean, it could be a problem with hormones. I would suggest you get your hormones checked.
This is where it comes down to knowing when to see a specialist.
Yeah, and history is important. There's not enough information. We would ask more questions as to, is this part of a syndrome?
Right.
Are there certain other symptoms that are happening that we could say, oh, okay, this is this syndrome or not?
But how does one tell if they have extra saliva, though? How do you just know you have extra
maybe
saliva?
Maybe they're drooling. I don't know. You know.
Wake up from sleep and drool all the day.
Well, if I real tired and thing, I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Hello, good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon, too.
Good afternoon. Really quick, please.
I wonder if chicken good to eat.
You want to know? Well, if chicken good to eat?
Good question.
Well, you could eat you can buy an Eitel chicken, you know, one of them chicken that don't eat meat. You could get one of them. But is chicken good to eat?
So in terms of diet, right, it depends on what diet you are looking at and what are your disease conditions, right? For example, if somebody has heart disease, we can't necessarily say don't eat meat, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to eat meat, we have recommendations, and it will be eat white meats, which will be chicken, but chicken breast, turkey, but turkey breast, fish, and eggs.
Other than that, removing the skin.
Yes.
Right, which is an important part. Everybody likes when they're making their little curry chicken to put their skin on the chicken. Now, a simple thing, just removing the skin off of it can actually help with some of the cholesterol and stuff like that.
And the method of preparation.
Exactly.
Right? Are you frying your chicken?
Mm-hmm.
That is very dangerous.
So, fried chicken.
Yeah.
So it's not a blanket statement that chicken is good for you.
Exactly.
But it's how you prepare it. Mm. Right, how much you eat, right? Protein, you need protein in your diet, right? So you should be eating some source of protein, right? But it's just, if you're if you're coating it and hostess a batter and then you're frying it and then you're eating that with fries and stuff like that, then it's probably not as healthy.
Every single day.
But if you are baking it in some nice olive oil, right, using spices instead of salt on it to give you that same flavor, right?
You then boil it, you steam it, you know, everything in moderation. You know, no one says you can't go and have a cheesecake, but you know, everything in moderation. And the problem is people don't have moderation, and that is how we have the obesity epidemic, right? You don't get obesity from eating one cheesecake, but if you eat 10 cheesecakes every day, you get obesity.
All right, final okay, call me back if you want. That's the last question we have. We out of time, but do you all have an episode on obesity at all?
Not yet, but we touch it in almost every episode.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's one particular episode on diabetes, but
on obesity.
Yeah. But it's talked about in the diabetes episode, hypertension, high cholesterol. It's talked
because
about
it is a risk factor for all of these things.
Yeah.
Okay. And one question before we leave. Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I just call about the chicken. Listen, I went to a plucking shop. Okay. And bought a chicken, and inside of it. It was talking about, so you open up, right? I didn't have to cut it, it was open already. And I look inside, and it had a thing like a lizard inside of it. Now listen, listen carefully. The tail of it was in the chicken rectum, okay? And it's like it's a lizard, and it's got four...
But the lizard was dead. The lizard was dead, right?
No, it was alive.
Okay,
and
so
just give me a second.
Sure.
I had four legs at on each side, okay? Or four arms, or whatever you want to call that thing. And on the shoulder, it was the, like a earthworm neck. The head and neck is like a earthworm, and the mouth was a small mouth. But when he the chicken gave. The beast realized that he's no longer inside of a chicken, getting atmosphere, started to behave very bad, very, very bad, biting up his own self. The thing had teeth, rows of teeth inside of it, right?
So do you think the lizard went into the chicken?
Yes, resting on the chicken.
So then maybe it's right? Where you got the chicken
and
from?
Hold on. And from the toes, as I said, it had four arms or toes or what? Shred like the shred of a seamstress.
I would advise that you don't eat that chicken.
Don't eat that chicken.
Next supplier.
Yeah, don't eat that chicken. All right, guys, don't eat it.
Is that cancer?
Yeah,
dangerous chicken.
Yeah, dangerous chicken.
Avoid that one.
Yeah, don't eat the chicken. Cancer? Yeah, that's the answer. Don't eat the chicken.
Don't eat that one.
Look on next beat. All right, thanks, birds.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Woo! Yeah. Somebody asked, what the hell is lizard called?
Wow.
So, guys, I want to say much love and thanks for being on my show this afternoon. I mean, it was really a pleasure having you guys. I've seen the set countless of times. I sat on it myself doing other business up to Sunday. We're sitting there. So it's finally good to meet you all. You know, we have seen your posters on billboards that this show is coming. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
and it's finally happening tonight.
It's happening. Yeah. How are you feeling? You're all excited about it?
Excited.
To see yourself on TV for the first time.
Oh my gosh. I think like it's so surreal for us this morning. We as we came here, we said, we can't believe this is finally happening.
Yeah, I mean, and how many months in the making was it?
2 years.
Yes. Two years.
2 years. We started this in height of pandemic.
Yeah.
I remember 2 years, and now it's finally bearing fruit.
Yeah.
So that's how the thing goes, Gil. That's how the thing goes, guys. You know what I mean? But congratulations all the same. Good luck. I am excited for the next 13 weeks to share it with you all on season on this season one of The Doctor's Journal. And no doubt, I don't think, you know, we run out of material for season two.
No.
The RL thing.
We have
15, 20 seasons. I won't go in the mortuary. Show people. I remember I had a show very briefly before we go called Jobs. And my show was going behind the scenes of persons and their work and that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
I spent off the dirty jobs with Micro out in the States.
Right.
I did an episode in the cemetery.
Okay.
I dig a grave.
Okay.
And show people when they dig a bad hole and talk to us and talk to a grave digger and found out, you know, some of the trials and tribulations that he go through.
Yeah.
And the man say, in a nutshell, I prefer bury a baby and old people.
Wow.
You see them people and them, he said that's the hardest funeral. The ones who bandits kill and them kind of deaths, that's the hardest ones, and babies. Because, you know, to bury a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then bandit kill a bandit and them bad boy dead. Many people come in front, it'd be a whole scene. Mm-hmm. Man show my scar.
Oh my.
Somebody hit him a shovel because he was put down. The time was running out and the people find they shouldn't bury him. So, going behind the scenes of these things is be real. So, it's really interesting. I think all they should do is a thing, show people, you know, what death looks like. You know, from a medical perspective, take care of yourself, health as well. Right. You know.
We might get banned, but.
Okay. Nah, you have to be tasteful. You have to be tasteful about it.
Yeah.
But all the same, you know, Doctor's Journal is finally here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Finally.
I surely send out all the tweets and everybody know, mom and dad, everybody watching this show tonight. All the goosebumps. You all going somewhere special to take it in?
I'm having a little mini.
I know that. I know you're going out there.
You have to celebrate the moment.
Of course. Yeah. Make it a spectacle. You know, putting out there, let everybody know you're on. And then you go to work tomorrow. Everybody's, I saw you on TV last night. And the grocery pushing around. Like, I love the doctor on TV show. You know. So, guys, I want to say much love and thanks. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you.
I know working with Rodney out of SGP Studios is nothing but brilliance.
They're amazing. Yeah, we honestly had a really good time working with them.
And the set is still up, so season 2 is definitely in the making, I'm sure.
We don't plan on going anywhere.
I don't want you guys to. And I want you guys to just grow from strength to strength, you know.
Yeah.
Make the show as entertaining, as interactive. But, you know, I have one question to ask you because they keep saying, ask this question.
Uh-huh.
All right, so just a minute and some seconds before the news, I'm going to ask you guys. You all are both Trinidadians, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, this is a question we ask everybody, yeah? So my team want me to ask you now. Bread and condensed milk. Yes, no?
No.
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 No. God! So you have never had bread and condensed milk? No.
No.
No. That's not something you're going to try, right?
No.
Nobody's going to eat bread and condensed milk, right?
No.
Yes. And you all are Trini by birth, yes?
Yep.
Yes! Because I never had it. So somebody say, hey, ask them. Whole show.
We've grown up drinking is the red soft drink with the milk in it,
right,
all of that.
We have had that, right?
I don't think I've had the bread.
But the bread and condensed milk and mashing up cricks with brown sugar and eating it.
Wow.
I've had the Milo on the milk.
You had that?
Yeah.
You have had that? I didn't have that. We grew up
privileged. And the Dalperine, the tea. No.
The what?
Giveaway.
Wow.
That's not like Rimani had meal there. You have had you.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.